Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Harikirtan Prabhuji. Prabhuji, on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th chapter, 24th canto, 75th verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very so much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning, Prabhuji, and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter. And 75th verse. Shreyasam iha sarvesham Jnanam nishreyasam param Sukkam tarati dushparam Jnananaur vyasanarnavam. Synonyms here. Shreyasam of all benedictions iha in this world, sarvesham of every person, Jnanam knowledge, nishreyasam the supreme benefit, param transcendental, Sukham, happiness, Tarati, crosses over, Tushparam, insurmountable, Jnana, knowledge, Nauha, boat, Vyasana, danger, Arnavam, the ocean. Translation interpreted by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, in this material world, there are different types of achievement. But of all of them, achievement of knowledge is considered to be the highest, because one can cross the ocean of nascence only on the boat of knowledge. Otherwise, the ocean is impassable. Purport. Actually, everyone is suffering within this material world due to ignorance. Every day, we see that a person without knowledge commits some criminal act and is later arrested and punished. Despite the fact that he actually may not have been conscious of his sinful activity. Such ignorance prevails throughout the world. People do not consider how they are risking their lives in an attempt to have illicit sex life, kill animals to satisfy their tongue, enjoy intoxication and gamble. It is very regrettable that the leaders of the world do not know of the effects of these sinful activities. They are instead taking things very easily and then succeeding in making the ocean of nascence wider and wider. Opposed to such ignorance, full knowledge is the greatest achievement within this material world. We can practically see that one who has sufficient knowledge is safe from many dangerous pitfalls in life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Bahunam janmanam te jnanamam mam prabhutyate. When one actually becomes wise, he surrenders onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva sarvamiti samhatma durlabha. Such a great soul is very rare to be found. This Krishna consciousness movement is determined to open wide the eyes of the so-called leaders who are full of ignorance and thus save them from the many pitfalls and dangerous conditions of life. The greatest danger is the danger of getting a body lower than that of a human being. It was with great difficulty that we obtained this human form of life just to take advantage of this body and re-establish our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. Lord Shiva advises, however, that those who take advantage of his prayers will very soon become devotees of Lord Vasudeva and thus will be able to cross the ocean of nascence and make life perfect. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shtakaya Chakshurunmalitam Yena Tusmai Shri Purvayana Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Mutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatharini Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shakrupa Sindhuti Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhavishna Vibhya Namamana Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prem Pradhaite Krishna Aya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gautri Senyamha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kripesha Upika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sati Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This verse spoken by Lord Shiva is explaining the importance of knowledge. In the first place, this is called the highest perfection. In Bhagavad Gita, we have a relating verse where Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhahi yatarthama visiddhanam kaschin mamveti tatvatha. The highest siddhi or perfection is when we actually understand God and no understanding also in tatvataha with philosophical understanding as it is. So this is a very rare achievement among the humans where we can understand God. And unfortunately, it's not realized. This perfection is not realized. In the modern world, people have different perfections. One may have perfection in certain engineering or certain any other skill. But the highest purpose of human life is to only understand God. That's the highest perfection. So this is not understood among the leaders and even common people. This idea is missing, that this is the highest perfection. So so what will this highest perfection lead to? So immediately when we attain this perfection, this leads to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bahujam, as Prabhupada mentions in this verse, in Purport, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanamam Prapadyate. As soon as we attain this perfection, we immediately surrender. So surrendering means, again, solving all the problems of life. Krishna requests everyone, just surrender. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So this is this can be only attained when you have some understanding of Lord, of what Krishna is. So in the modern day circumstance also, people are making many attempts to solve the problem of this pandemic, but the root causes we are not attempting to surrender to Krishna. Even if, in spite of such a big problem we are seeing all over, people are not recognizing that the root causes we didn't surrender. And even very intelligentsia is also not working on that. And in towards this, and they are trying to wait many other solutions. But as Prahlad says, in material world, without anything related to the Lord, if you find some solution, that becomes bigger than the problem. The solution becomes bigger than the problem. So this is not understood. That's why Prabhupada insisted book distribution, especially to the leaders. Everyone, but if leaders, as mentioned in the Purport, if leaders come to understand what you mean by the knowledge, actually. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are three aspects of knowledge. Jnanam is in second chapter 11th verse. Purport, Prabhupada mentions knowledge means three aspects. Knowledge of matter, knowledge of spirit, and knowledge of the control of the both, Achit, Chit, and Ishwar. So this makes up the complete knowledge. Now in present day context, what we go as a knowledge is only a small part of the Achit aspect of knowledge. Even that is imperfect. It's not properly presented. Just like we have in physics, Mendeleev's periodic table. They are going on adding new elements. They're not sure how many elements are there. So, but when you come to even Achit Gyana of scriptures, Shastras, they're very perfect. They just summarize as a five element. Bhumi Rapu Nala Kam Vayu Kam. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So they are very, it's been there and it's continuing, that knowledge is continuing. But now we have physics, always some new discovery of elements. That means even Achit knowledge is missing. And the second thing is Chit, the knowledge of the soul. Prabhupada always used to, point out to the big professors and in his lectures in the universities, where is a university for the soul? Science of soul. So this is a big vacuum in educational institution where there's no knowledge of soul. It's not a small thing. It's such an important aspect which was there in the Vedic culture previously. Even Hiranyakashipu, when Hiranyaksha died, to give a solace to the wife of Hiranyaksha, he talks about soul. So even the Asuras were fond of this knowledge of soul. So we are so degraded that we have missed this important aspect of knowledge in modern universities. We take a lot of pride in modern day science and knowledge, but this small thing is missing, which is not such a big thing. Knowledge of Ishvara is very big, but just having some minute aspects of Achit, we are boasting out like we have a lot of knowledge. So this is, I think, ISKCON, Prabhupada's books are the only ones which can fill in this gap of which is missing in the society, in the knowledge, education institutions, the knowledge of soul. Somehow preaching should be diverted towards at least developing our own educational institutes where we can talk of the science of soul, the science of God. So this is missing in the, so this is actually not jnana. Like there are three vidyas, avidya, vidya, paravidya and aparavidya. So avidya is ignorance. It is not knowledge, it is presented as knowledge, is avidya. Aparavidya is you want to deal in this world, you want to make a living in the world. Aparavidya gives some idea about it, how to deal in the world, how to make some living in this world. It is also required, but it's not so prominent. But what important is paravidya, that is knowledge of science, of soul and God. So what is going on as vidya actually is avidya. But of course, Bhagavatam says we need to know also both vidya, vidya, so that we can distinguish what is avidya. Since there is no vidya, people are taking avidya as everything. That's the problem in the society. So in Bhagavad Gita, again, Krishna presents another aspect. Is jnanam jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam. He talks of knowledge. What is knowledge? What is object of knowledge? What is goal of knowledge? People have some knowledge. Just like, I think, Satsvarup Maharaj, Prabhupada's disciple, in one university met a big professor, theology, who knew about Jiva Goswami, Shatsandarbhas. He was talking a lot about that. So he quickly went to Prabhupada and mentioned that he met such a big professor. Prabhupada said what he is doing, you know, he's smoking a cigar, something like that. So he said he may know superficially something about Jiva Goswami, Shatsandarbhas. What is his jnana jnayam? What is the object of his knowledge? And what is jnana gamyam? Like smoking, you think he can realize that knowledge? So just not knowing, but making that as a goal is very important. Jnanam jnayam jnana gamyam. You have to achieve. Jnanam means understanding Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even able to reach Him, Gamyam. If that is not there, then it is again imperfect. It's not complete. There are many theologians or many so-called scholars who talk about God, who present God, who try to worship God, but they don't know the really goal of God, understanding God. There are many big speakers, big scholars have given so many lectures on God, but they don't surrender, because the very aspect of understanding God means immediately surrender. If there is no surrender, then there is no point of acquiring knowledge. Jnanamam mam prapadyate. Immediately there is surrender with understanding that Vasudeva Sarvamiti. God is everything. So this is missing. Even in many spiritual institutions, there is knowledge of God, but they don't have a proper goal. What do you want to do with that knowledge? But due to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, spreading that message of Chaitanya, we have a clear understanding what is knowledge, what is object of knowledge, what is the goal of knowledge. Knowledge is that we know about the three aspects, as I said, Achit, Chit and Ishvara. Yeah, knowledge, again of knowledge, what is the objective knowledge? Surrender. And what you want to reach, what you want to gamya, what is a gamya, is that you want to become eternal servant of Krishna. You want to get that position of eternal servitude towards Krishna, going back to Godhead, attending His prema. So these are very clear for us. But many people have no clarity on this because they miss out what we call the sambandha vidheya prayojana. Even this is a very nice analysis of knowledge. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, it seems, he analyzed Bhagavad Gita. He made his notes. He divided the Bhagavad Gita shlokas into sambandha, vidheya and prayojana. It's a wonderful way to actually acquire knowledge and practice and attain our goal also. So this, if you analyze from this point of view, sambandha, vidheya, prayojana, we can see world, especially the practitioners of so-called spirituality from this light, sambandha, vidheya, prayojana. We can nicely analyze where they stand. Many people have sambandha, but they don't have proper abhideya. Just like we call apasampradaya. They want to attain love of God, but they are doing something else, which is not the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why Chaitanya Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered these different upper sampradayas and presented the world to prove that actually sampradaya is very pure and these people are making it impure. That's why our sampradaya also got a very bad name because of this upper sampradaya. It seems in Bengal, those days in the years, like a century back, people used to say, if someone is not properly going to school or educated, you know, not able to do anything in the house, they say, better go and join that Gaudiya. It means they had a very bad opinion about Gaudiya Vaishnava. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur cleared all that and brought out a proper abhidheya, proper process of worshipping, accepting Krishna. And so that was missing. So in some cases, there is a bit of sambandha, but improper abhideya. And some places there is a proper abhideya. We have some group in India, I think, in other places also. Every day go on, out on Sankirtan. And sometimes there are some groups which go on every Thursday. And the town I stay, there are a group. Because due to lockdown, everything is stopped. But from over, 30 years, without stopping, they all go on a sankirtan. They all take a drum, some kartal, and some other instruments with a small microphone. They go on a sankirtan every day. But the point is, they're doing sankirtan, but what they sing is, one day this devi is from that deva, and different things. you know, the Sankirtan aspect is very good. Actually, I feel a little, ashamed that this is our process, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they are very much doing. Abhidaya seems to be okay, but their Sambandha is not clear. And there are, and I spoke to those people, you know, why you're doing all this? They say, you know, to keep up our nationality, you know, unity. So the prayojan is also, you know, shaky, not proper prayojan. So people have a bit of this, a bit of that, but they don't have, you know, the process. They don't have all the three aspects in right perspective. It's a great fortune that Prabhupada gave all the three things very perfectly for us, so that, you know, we don't have to get confused. Like when Prabhupada was there, you know, receiving the first batch who went to London to preach. Prabhupada and Sridhar Maharaj was Bhaktisiddhanta Swami's disciples who were there to receive the first batch of people who went abroad to preach, Bon Maharaj extra. So they found that as they were deboarding the train, the ship, they saw Bon Maharaj was in a western attire, you know, clothes, pant and shirt. So Prabhupada immediately said that, you know, they went to change, transform them, but since they transformed these people. So this happened because even though they were under the great guidance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, somewhere their understanding of Vidheya and Prayojana might have, you know, failed. So Prabhupada was very perfect. You can see. He never changed anything. Whatever Guru Maharaj said, he was just applying it aptly, and God saw that everything, Sambandha, Abhidaya, Prayojana, very go well. In the history of ISKCON also, you see suddenly a big turmoil where three sannyasis started preaching that Prabhupada is Krishna. They brought in somehow this Mayavadi idea, and they were preaching this, and Prabhupada had to go to the extent of, you know, abandoning them from the society. Later they realized and they came back. But this danger is always there. Though we have perfect spiritual acharya, perfect philosophy, perfect process, still we go astray. Sometimes we go out of the path. So that's why ensuring Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana or Jnanam, Jnanagamyam is very important. Otherwise, it's always the possibility of, diverting ourselves. It's always a check, some supervision on us to ensure Sambandha is proper or Abhideya is proper or Prayojana is proper. So this is a very, very important, very vital in our personal life, where if we have someone supervising us who has some kind of, you know, check on us, we are very fortunate, actually. Because there's always ample chances in Kali Yuga for us to get diverted. There are many things like that. Like even during Prabhupada's time, there was few people, you know, got into, you know, drugs again and saying, I'm taking drugs and I'm out to see Krishna, I'm getting his love, something like that. You know, so there is always a chance. So we should ensure Sambandha, Abhidaya, Prayojana, Jnan is in proper perspective. Another very interesting thing in this verse is the use of Shreyas, the word Shreyas. Shreyasam and Nishreyasam. The ultimate benefit and the topmost ultimate benefit. The Shreyas is a very nice word. In Katha Upanishad, when the discussion between Yamaraj and Nachiketa, actually this crops up, this word Shreyas and Shreyas. Shreyas basically means the ultimate benefit, and Shreyas means the temporary, something which may be seeming very pleasant, the benefit. But actually, our goal of life is Shreyas, not Shreyas. So we can see people in terms of Shreyas, Shreyas, there are different varieties, variety of people. To mention a few, some people only aspire for Shreyas. They are not interested in long term, and they are not visionaries, which accounts for a lot of good number of people in this modern day world. They just want some temporary something, like some benefit, and they are very satisfied with that. And some people who aspire for Shreyas, but they are misdirected, like Arjuna. He was complaining, Na Shreyonu Pashyami Hatva Sajana Mahave. By killing my own men, how can I think of any kind of Shreyas, long-term benefit? So Arjuna couldn't foresee how killing could be beneficial. So that's why he was into, you know, big dilemma. That's why, again, he asks in 2nd chapter, 7th verse, the famous one, Yes, Shreyasyan Nishitam Duhitam. Please tell me what is good for me. And this he repeats in 2nd shloka, in 2nd chapter he tells, in 3rd chapter he repeats again. In the 3rd chapter also, since Krishna told that Durena Avaram Karma, these are all activities, abnormal activities, then he gets confused. You know? He said, keep activity and focus on in a Buddhi Yoga. Then he gets confused. Again, he said, Vyamishrena Vakyena, in 3rd chapter, 2nd verse, Buddhi Moheshiyume. Your words, unequal vocal words, are, you know, actually confusing my intelligence. So, Tada Ekam Vadanishchitya, Yena Shreyo Aham Aptuva. He's saying again that, please tell me what is really beneficial to me. So this is the attitude we should have also, that we should focus on what is the ultimate benefit. We're not looking for something temporary. So Arjuna mentions in the 2nd verse and also in 3rd chapter, 2nd chapter, 3rd chapter. Again, he goes on to mention again in the 5th chapter. Because whenever he is confused, he feels he's diverted. He puts the point that I want something which will give me ultimate benefit. In 5th chapter also he says, Sanyasam karmanam Krishna punar yogam cha samsasi yashreya etayor ekam tanme bhuhi sunishchitam. In this case he says, you ask me to take sannyas and you want to be renounce work, and again you're asking me to, in the 4th chapter Krishna says, last words, atishto tishto bharata. Chitvainam samsayo yogam atishto tishto bharata. You come, stand up, and with the yoga you fight. So he's confused there. Again, he's saying, you asked me to take sannyas, renounce work, and then you're asking me to fight again. So if Arjuna could get confused in accepting what is Shreyas, what about us? So always this will pose a problem. What is really beneficial to me? What is my highest benefit? What is highest good for me? So this confusing state we can overcome when you can overcome this duality. That's why Krishna says that if you want to be determined in bhakti, you have to overcome dualities. In the 7th chapter, he talks about how to become determined. Esham swantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam vedanda moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridakrita. When you overcome the dualities which come in the life, which is good and bad. In other place, even in 9th chapter, Krishna says, Shubha Shubham Parityagi. You should give up Shubha Ashubha also. It sounds a little unusual when you say even you have to give up Shubha. This is a reference to what is material Shubha. So what is Shubha means, I got some material benefit, I got some extra money. So that is Shubha, that's fine. But we don't have to get bewildered or we can get affected by that. Or we should not even aspire so much for that. Because Shubha in this material world means not much pain. A lesser misery. And Ashubha means more misery. So we don't want misery. So that's why Krishna is saying Shubha, Shubha, Parityagi. Give up both things, both of those things. Then mukto mam paishyati. Then he says, you'll come, you'll get liberated and you'll come back to me. You can do this. Sannyasa yoga yuktatma. Also, you should connect with me. Renouncing in connection with me. So, shubha shubha parityagi. Even in Charitamrita, It is said, you know, Dvaita, this good and bad, you know, ye sabo mano brahma, badra badra ye mano dharma. This is just a speculation that this is good, this is auspicious, this is not auspicious. So the higher spiritual knowledge will bring out the understanding that actually there is no auspicious, inauspicious. Everything is inauspicious in this world. Ye bhala, ye manda, ye sabha brahma. It's just a bewilderment that this is good, this is bad. Or something good happened to me. So sometimes we aspire that, okay, we are practicing spiritual life, so there should be something good, materially good also happen to me. If it happens, okay, Krishna's mercy. But we don't aspire only for that. We aspire for spiritual benefit, ultimate benefit. Because we may get sidetracked. If you think, I chant my japa, so I get good health, I get good paid, like that. You know, when you get sidetracked, because that they are not the goals of spiritual life. Though they may come as byproducts, we may just accept, but we are not excited that it is this is what we got. We should not be bewildered, as Krishna says. Sukadukke samikrutva labha labha jayaja. We get some benefit, material benefit, we get some material happiness, we are praised in the material circles. This should not bewilder us. If we get bewildered, then we get sidetracked. Because this is not what we are aspiring for. So, prayojana jnana should be, jnana gamya should be very clear. So that's why Arjuna is repeatedly asking, I just want the sriyas, which is ultimate benefit. So in this world, as I said, the people are, some are only aspiring for prayas, some are aspiring for shreyas, but they are misdirected. And they are, though aspiring for shreyas, they are falling down to the prayas. So a person with pure, I mean like perfect knowledge, will aspire for shreyas and never get diverted. So this is what we have to, in our practice, try to attain, where we are very clear with what our shreyas is, and we are not bewildered by any kind of prayas which may encounter in our life. So this is very interesting aspect. The another very interesting part of the sloka is this knowledge is compared to a boat. The similar analogy is taken by Krishna also, where in fourth chapter he explains, apachetasi papebhya sarvebhya papakrutama sarvam jnanam plavenayam vijinam santarishi. Krishna says that this boat of knowledge is very, very, very important. Where, because even a very sinful person, and he further goes to explain, even the papakrutama, the most sinful person, general the sinful people can board the boat, even the most sinful can also board this boat of knowledge and Rijinam Santarishi. And you can cross over the ocean of misery very easily. So, why this boat is used? Because material world is compared to ocean, samsara sagara. And it takes a very good analogy, because the ocean waves always take us up and down. There's, you know, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, you know, habu dubur vai, you know, we are going up and down here. We are drowning and we are up. You know, but we are not able to reach the shore. That's the problem. So we are in the ocean, up and down in the waves, but we are not somehow able to reach the shore. So sometime up, down in the ocean, and then coming up, having some, taking some breath. So it gives little happiness. But that's really something very good for us. The very good thing is that we come out of this ocean and come to the shore and always take the pleasant breath, the pleasant breeze, so, which is not happening. So this analogy, because always this will happen. The dualities always will be there. We sink into the ocean and come up. You know, this is always there. The only way is that we need to shake shelter of an ocean, a boat, sorry. Only then we can actually be safe. By our own effort, no one can cross the ocean. Many have tried, but it's very difficult. Very, very impossible that. And Krishna says it's possible. So why try when you know it's impossible? There are some people who say, no, if you work hard, we can swim over. It's not just work hard. Yes, work hard with the mercy of Krishna. If that is not there, then it's just working hard will not do anything. It's shrama eva hi keval. Any attempt to mitigate our problems on our own effort is just a shrama eva hi keval. It's just useless labor. We can't make any betterment in our situation because it's all destiny. As soon as we take birth, what all we have to receive is destiny. So, making an extra effort to change the destiny is the futile effort. So it's better always to take shelter. In other places it said, the lotus feet of the Lord are like a boat. You can cross over this ocean. So here it is mentioned that the knowledge is the shelter route. Knowledge of what? A knowledge of, as we mentioned, achit chit ishvara, knowledge of jnanam jnayam and jnanagam, knowledge of sambandha, abhideya and payoja. So this is actually knowledge. This is actually thing which can actually bring us out of this miserable condition. So how to get that knowledge also? It's not just we try to acquire it on our own effort. We need the mercy of Krishna. Atapi te deva padam bujadvayam. If we can take shelter of Krishna, and then if he bestows, then only we can get the knowledge. So it's again, there's a process to even acquire knowledge. It's not it just comes like that. So we need the mercy. Prasad lesanu gasa evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekut chirindusunya. Once we get the mercy, it doesn't take long time. So knowledge is, you have to acquire, but we acquire knowledge by the mercy of Krishna. Prasadame, his mercy is required. So if we need mercy, so all that we do in sadhana, we chant Krishna's name, we we hear Bhagavatam, we read Bhagavatam, we take prasadam, all that is just to attract the mercy of Krishna. So mercy of Krishna, once we receive, and jnanam is there. So this is the process we follow as bhakti yogis. But there are other yoga systems where they have to speculate. That's why Bhagavatam, Brahmaji says, jnana prayasa mudupasya namanta eva. Just give up this jnana prayasa on your own effort without surrendering to Krishna. So, our process of acquiring knowledge is we surrender to Krishna, we aspire to attract His mercy. That is our process. And that's how we get the knowledge. A big pandit came to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's house, his ashram, his room. And he was discussing something on Krishna Tattva, and he was a big, like a Veda Pandit. So he was quoting that, these words from Upanishads, and but not having a clear idea what God is. Meanwhile, he saw Bhaktisiddhanta's servant cleaning a vessel. He was cleaning so hard that, you know, that vessel worn out, you know, in the bottom of the vessel worn out, and there is a hole. And this person, the servant, was putting one hand beneath the vessel and was cleaning with another hand. Then he was like, he was acting stupid because he was seeing what is the soft part of the vessel. You know, he was touching that soft part, which was nothing but his another hand, his palm. So the scholar got in laughter and said, he commented that your student so foolish? He's not able to find, he's not able to see that it's his own palm. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, from that hole, from that finger, he will know everything. Even Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's sincerely trying to serve Krishna. Serve his spiritual master. So he may be stupid, but he will come out he'll understand knowledge because he's in the process. Similarly, there was another personality in ISKCON who was like a bum, he was like a crazy, drug addict, and he's not able to even speak properly. So he somehow made himself join the ashram, and everyone were not hesitantly accepted him. And since even he couldn't speak properly, they made him put in the ashram, and he was asked to clean the vessels every day. Every time there's cooking, he is the only one left out to wash the vessels. Somehow his interest grew in studying Sanskrit. So Sanskrit means there are a lot of principles, there are sutras to understand Sanskrit. So he was writing the sutras with a chalk or charcoal on the wall, and he was cleaning vessels and by hearting the sutras. So that supposedly a bum, a mad, fit for nothing person, he became a big scholar. And he translated many of the Goswami books. I just slipped his name. Very famous in ISKCON. He's no more. He's the one who, translated many, many, many Sanskrit books. So jnana, knowledge is something, we just grab it. It just is bestowed. Krishna says, jnana deepena bhashvatam tesham evanu kampartam. By his great mercy, he bestows his knowledge. We can't just grab from the scriptures, from spiritual master, just can't grab it. Upadekshanti te jnanam. Krishna says, it's given, it's not taken, it's not grabbed. So, as mentioned here by Lord Shiva, we all have to aspire to both this boat of knowledge, which can actually easily get us across the ocean and make us situated well in this, in our actual constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. So, there are a few things I thought about this sloka. I call for any questions, comments, any suggestions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A wonderful class, Prabhu, full of knowledge. I'm just curious to understand if you have any information, Prabhu, where do we exactly, Gaudiya Sampradaya, where do we exactly lose the thread of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana? Because somewhere we lost it. So do we have any info on that, Prabhu? How it happened or where exactly?
If you study the Apasampradaya, Jati Gosai, Kartabaja, all these Sahajiyas, so somewhere, these are good lessons what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has presented. If you can go through those teachings, there were nice seminars given by His Holiness. No more, he was in Gurukul. I miss his name. I heard his long ago in the 1980s. He gave a presentation on Apasampradaya, let me get his name. Actually, there, Suhadra Maharaj. Yes. So he gave a good analysis of what this 13 Apasampradayas were and how they actually routed and then how they, you know, developed and how even they are, you know, likely to influence our ISKCON also. Like Sahajism is like you become too light about the process of bhakti, about the principles, rules and regulations. You know, Rupa Goswami says, Niyamagraha. Are you too fanatic about following or rather you are too loose in following? So when you become too loose in following these things, you become a kind of a sahajiya. You take things light and you think, oh, you follow, I may not follow, it's okay. You know, like that. So this abhidhaya thing, you know, the process is, you know, deviated because, I mean, that's the sign of apasampradaya. And you see, that when you study these apasampradaya, I'm sure they're recorded and they're also available in a, you know, written format. It's available. You can look for apasampradaya very much in Google. So there are books also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur books. There he talks, he mentions few names of them. And Prabhupada also, often and wherever it is required, he mentions about this apasampradaya. So abhideya deviation is very, very much seen in this. And prayojana deviation is when you philosophically fall down from the principle, I mean, our prameyas of our sampradaya. We have prameya ratnavali. There are 10 prameyas that like the principal things which we have to be aware of, which is not really mentioned in Prabhupada directly, but he mentioned all the 10. Just like Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this we may have to sometime, I know one devotee who was initiated in ISKCON, from ISKCON Sampradaya, and then he got deviated because he was too allured by Sri Vaishnavism. And now he says that, which Veda says Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead? Where he says, and he, you know, he says, no, Vishnu is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Though there's not technically such a big difference, but it is different. Because our Parampradaya says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And rest all are his energies, his kala and vistaranas like that. When you get prayojana, when you get deviated philosophically from our Gaudiya Vaishnava tenets, then there's a prayojana difference. Like our goal is, you know, to go back to Godhead, Goloka Vrindavan, our Ishtadaiva is Krishna, and we want to chant, we want Krishna Prem. But even said, no, I want Sarupa Mukti, is not our, though you may get it, you may aspire for it, but that's not our prayojana. Prema prayojana is our prema is prayojana. So you get deviated when like that. It seems even one devotee in Srirangam, he was too much associating with Sri Vaishnava. Not bad, but he lost his prayojana, or he got into so many rituals at the cost of even not chanting his 16 rounds. So we have to be balanced, and we have to be always have a cross-check and, you know, introspect if our sambandha, vidya, prayojana, jnana are in place.
Right, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Wonderfully explained. Yes, we are all walking on a tight rope. It's very easy to deviate. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Yeah,
wonderfully explained with many examples. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Prabhuji, can you please say something about Abhiram Thakur?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it.
Thank you.
Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you for your mind. Yeah. Abhiram Thakur... As much as I know, I don't know much about him, but he is one of the gopas, especially the 12 friends of Balaram. They appeared again as Nityananda Prabhu's friends. He was called Ramdas, it seems, and as Krishna's, Balaram's friend. But when he appeared in Nityananda Leela, he was named Abhiram Das. Very distinct qualities of Abhiram is two very distinct and mysterious qualities of Abhiram. One of the things is that he had a mystic whip called Jai Mangal. So he used to take it around, and whomever he saw, he used to whip them. And whoever was whipped, it seems they were bestowed with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They used to become ecstatic. So one time it was sometime it looks really, I mean, like it's like we are whipping, but that whip was transcendental. Once Srivas Pandit was whipped in front of Malini, his wife. So two whips and he fell off, in ecstasy. And he was trying to whip more and he said, no, he's enough for him, enough ecstasy. So people were actually fearing, his whip. But it was very transcendental. It was very spiritual. Bestowing mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was a unique thing about Abhiram, spreading the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another very interesting and little, fear causing is that whoever's child was born, he used to immediately look for them and pay obeisances to the child. And if the child born is not born with pious credits to participate in Chaitanya's movement, he used to immediately die. He had enough pious credit to participate in Chaitanya's mission, in his movement, just to remain alive. So whenever the child was born, they used to fear Abhiram appearing there and paying obeisance. They used to run away, they used to divert him, because it happened many times. It happened to even Nityananda Prabhu's wife also. She lost 7 children because Abhiram Thakur paid obeisance. But one child, Vasudha, is another wife, Nityananda, another wife, gave a girl child. And he paid obeisance and she was alive, just remained alive. And she became to be a Ganga Dasi, who was original Ganga from the spiritual world. The Ganga starts actually. So she happened to be the incarnation of that Ganga. Later Chaitanya Abhiram Thakur actually even composed a song, Ashtakam, or some prayers to this Ganga Dasi about her glories. So it looked little very harsh upon him to go like that, but actually it was all transcendental, and it was happening with Chaitanya's sanction. Nityananda Prabhu's son, Virachandra, when he was born, he came and paid obeisance and henceforward he was alive. So he became like his servant actually. He was always with Virachandra and he was serving him because he liked the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates who were taking birth and he wanted to assist them. It was very mysterious how he happened to go then. They were dying. That was a sad part, but that was what happening then. Once Mukunda begot a child and Abhiram appeared there. And he said, where is your child? And he said, no, I don't know him. And he's taken somewhere else. Something he avoided him. And Abhiram went away. And on the way, somehow that child, Raghunandan, appeared. And he paid obeisances, coming to know that he's Mukunda's son. And then he was alive, and again he became a good friend of Raghunanda Thakur, Raghunanda Thakur later. So this was the mystical pastimes of Abhiram Thakur. Generally, the nature of gopas or the devotees in Sakya Rasa with Krishna or Balram, they were like carefree people. They didn't even care, Nityananda, they didn't care, because that was rasa they were enjoying. So it appears like if actually Hanuman comes to see this rasa, he'll be too bewildered and he will enrage him. But this is how the Sakya rasa is. So we get some glimpse of what Sakya rasa is actually in these pastimes. Like how Abhiram Thakur is to sometimes command on Nityananda Prabhu also. So this is all about Sakya rasa that is given. That's why in Bhagavatam also we have a wonderful prayer. How come this these people, boys, are able to, you know, participate in the leela of Krishna like this. It's a very, they have a lot of pious credits. This cannot be understood by people with a little bit of bhakti. It is we need to understand even that, you know, we need to have a lot of pious credits. The shloka goes, you know, ittam sitam brahma sukanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena maya shritanam naradharakena shakam vijuh kritapunya punja. They have, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship with as cowherd boys. So this, even to understand this, it's very difficult. So with that code, it's difficult to even analyze Abhiram Thakur's pastimes, you know, that one, that bad thing of, you know, children are getting killed. But I'm sure even they're getting killed, they're getting a better chance to take birth again as in devotee families with a more devotional past credits. So that's why the pastime, the leelas, the activities of great devotees, you know, their speech, their thoughts, their actions are very difficult. Tandravak kriya mudra vigneha nabuja yandra chitte krishna prema karai udhai. Even the learned people cannot understand words, activities and symptoms of a person situated in love of God. So it's very difficult. So when that's why these things are not actually put in public, in general people, you know, this pastime, because they misunderstand it. Forget about understanding, they misunderstand. So Krishna's leelas with gopis and his intimate sakhas, his close friends, all this is a subject matter for a devotee at a certain stage. So it's not actually, like preachers, it's recommended for preachers. Prabhupada did tell that in Back to Godhead, all these magazines, we shouldn't present such high leelas, high caliber leelas, because it's often misunderstood. And they bring down it to, you know, kind of, the mundane platform. Just like one lady put a case on Lord Rama, based on Ramayana, that how come it's an injustice to ladies, you know, like, that Sita is abandoned 3 times. You know, this is very, intolerable. So she put a case on Lord Rama. What she could understand, you know, what Rama and Sita, their relationship is. So that's why knowledge is not acquired from wherever it has to have a very systematic approach. That's why even in ISKCON, we should, Prabhupada recommended a good standard system of knowledge where you, scale up, you know, gradually, and then you will understand better the higher, you know, the esoteric pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
Thank you very so much, Prabhuji, for your enlightening class today. Thank you very so much for a wonderful realization and sharing your Krishna conscious knowledge with us. Thanks a lot. If anybody have any questions, any more questions, please go ahead for Prabhuji. Yeah, once again, thank you very so much for your...
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening us class today, and we are very grateful to you, and we look forward for your association again in future. If nobody has any questions... Thank you so much, Prabhuji. If nobody has any questions, we can end the call here.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very beautiful class and discussion. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your association.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the call and giving me your association. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. ग्रान्दा श्रीमद्भागवतं की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. इस्क्रे हरे कीर्तन प्रभुजी की जय.